Ramsey TV.
I hate to be the one to tell you this. I really do. It falls upon me. It is incumbent upon me. It behooves me to tell you that faith can be faked. Faith can be faked, and often is. But I have some more information that might shock you. In fact, I cannot say I know of any case where faith is faked on purpose. I think some of the televangelists, Benny Hinn comes to mind. There's no genuine faith there. So I think people like that go into it totally realizing that they are enacting a scam. They consciously go into, quote, the ministry, unquote, to make money. They say, here's a good job. People are gullible and I can move the masses, and that is truly faked faith. But I think, for the most part, because that's a really evil person, Benny Hinn, I think for the most part, faith is faked or feigned, not willingly. And I think we are dealing with this in our circles more than we realize. Martin, you ask, how could this happen? That is a great question. I have been thinking about this, and this is what I have come up with. Most people in the world, and really you could say everyone in the world to one degree or another, people want to get along with those in their immediate environment. I'm thinking of chameleons right now, because the chameleon is an amazing creature, an amazing reptile that adapts. Seems miraculous, but it will take on the color of whatever thing it is next to or in. For instance, a chameleon in a bunch of green leaves will become green. This is a wonderful gift of God. It's also an object lesson. They will become green. Let's say they're hanging around in a red delicious apple grove. Oh, they will become red. Let's say they are hanging around in a banana factory. Oh, bananas aren't made in factories? Okay. Well, I'm thinking about when the bananas come down like the conveyor belt, right? Okay, a banana checking station? Okay. If a chameleon were in a banana checking station, it becomes yellow like the bananas. This is a gift of God given to the chameleon to protect it from enemies. Enemies are looking around saying, all I see is a bunch of bananas coming down the conveyor belt. I don't see anything there. There's the chameleon right there, and it's yellow. Beautiful. But listen, this is also, God gave us this, I think, to show us how it happens in the human world also, because humans will adapt to their environment to become one with the environment, to get along with the environment, because so many people have no genuineness. This sounds harsh. All right, they have no genuineness. They don't have a conviction within themselves. I'm finding out how rare this is. I mean, it is rare. And this is the one thing that earmarks members of the body of Christ. They have a conviction within themselves and nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. That's like the chameleon who's in the banana processing plant and it refuses to turn yellow. I'm going to stay red. It'll get eaten. Okay, it'll get eaten. Oh, there's a chameleon in the middle of the bananas. But yet it gets eaten, though, being true to itself. Refusing to change. Refusing to go with the flow. There's another word for it right there. Another phrase, go with the flow. Go with the prevailing winds. It's the popularity. Now we're getting closer to the human world. It's wanting to be popular, even in your small group. I have been with people who, when they were with me, want, desire, need to become like me for whatever reason, for acceptance, for love, to be thought of positively for some monetary advantage, for some, well, you get the picture. But as soon as, this is a curiosity, now, as soon as my presence is removed, this has happened to me on several occasions, when my presence is removed, the individual suddenly drops all signs of being a sincere, convicted believer and goes off into some crazy tangent. Like someone who is with me, of course, will distrust human institutions, the church I'm speaking of. They don't want to go to church. No, church is bad. Church is evil. Right. You're right, Martin. Changing colors to go with the environment. In this case, my environment. And as soon as I'm out of the picture, boing, bang, bing, they are off to church. Off to church. What happened to the conviction that church is bad? And freelance spirituality in the wilderness with Jesus Christ is good. What happened to that? It was someone adapting to my way, not theirs, to becoming as I am, not how they are. And so in this instance, I believe it is unconscious. I believe that the faith is adapted as an outward convenience in order not to A, suffer persecution, or B, be seen to be different, or C, to be thought of as a rebel who is going against the grain. Some people, many people, and this is hard to believe for me because I am not like this, many people can't stand to go against the grain. They have so little self-approval. Their self-worth, their self-image is so compromised that the only way they can feel needed, wanted, loved is to adapt to the environment, to turn yellow, to turn green, to turn red, whatever you are, they are, until you're out of the picture, and then kaboom, they become what they were all along, which is not what you were. One time, someone in my circle who was totally into the gospel of Paul, the gospel of the transcendent grace of God, when I became absent out of the picture, dived immediately into the New Age movement. It blew my mind, which is causing me to think of these things. What are the mechanics of this? How could it happen? Is it premeditated? I don't think it is. I think it's completely a chameleon operation. Now, my ex-father-in-law told me one time, he used to be in the Pentecostal religion, and the big thing there, of course, is speaking in tongues. And when newbies came in and they didn't know how to speak in tongues, he got a little titter. He said, out of watching people being taught how to speak in tongues, and the person who purportedly spoke in tongues would take the neophyte in and say, well, you just start like moving your mouth, okay, and then just throw in a bunch of noises, blah, 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 and then add some recognizable syllables, put some consonants and vowels in there. Watch me. Can you do that? Watch me. Just let it out. Let all your cautiousness, all your self-analysis, let all your care go off with the wind and do what I do. Do what I do. There it is. Do what I do. And you can train people to do as you do. This is really an outward chameleon act. It's not an inward thing where an individual needs to conform to his or her environment. It's something that is imposed from without, like you will conform to this environment. And so this construction really is made that is completely false. Turns out it's completely false. It never was genuine, but it can really look genuine But they're imitating it. It's like a parrot. Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker. People teach parrots to say stuff. It's unbelievable. And you come to think that the parrot is really smart. The parrot gets it. No, the parrot doesn't get anything. You can tell a parrot, oh boy, you're cute. Oh boy, you're cute. Okay? And then every time somebody comes in the room, the parrot says, oh boy, you're cute. So when the person who has trained the parrot receives guests into the home, the parrot says, oh boy, you're cute. And the person coming into the home thinks, wow, that parrot is smart. That parrot really thinks I'm cute. No, the parrot doesn't think you're cute. The parrot is not even considering whether you might be cute. The parrot couldn't care less if you were ugly or cute. The parrot is simply imitating sounds, just like speaking in tongues. This person who was being taught was imitating sounds, nothing more, nothing more. This is shocking. That it happens with human beings, that they imitate sounds, they imitate dispositions, they say the right words. This is where that comes from. They say the right words. Well, I heard Martin Zender saying the evangel of the grace of God, so I'm going to say the evangel of the grace of God. Because then when I get around people who use this terminology, I will look like I am one of them, and I will say it, and I will be accepted by that group because I'm using the terminology. Eon, the Aeonian times. Oh, there's a great catchphrase. I'm going to say the Aeonian times. And when people hear me say the Aeonian times, they will be, oh, you are a learned one, and we're happy to know that you are in the family of the faith. But they're not. They are not in the family of faith. They are parroting. And when they're out of that environment, they drop the vernacular, and then they become what they truly are, which is whatever shows up. Whatever shows up after the influence is gone, that's what they really are. And they only adapted or adopted that characteristic, those words, that disposition to please whoever people were there or to cause themselves to feel better and more accepted. There have been people I've known in the faith who I find out, like, suddenly they don't believe what they always claimed to believe. For instance, I know people who were absolutely solid in the sovereignty of God, that all things are operating according to God's will, Ephesians 1:11, and that all the events of human history have been set beforehand and are dictated by the Spirit of God. Romans 11:36, all is out of him, all is for him, and all is into him. And they preach it and preach it and preach it. Then one day, I find out that this individual doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God anymore. And I am astounded. It's like a bomb has gone off in my world. What? Who believes what? Can't be right. Can't be right. Can't be right. So I do some research. OMG. Are you kidding me? This person who once believed in the sovereignty of God now believes that God doesn't know what's going to happen next? Are you kidding me? See, this is shocking to me. I'm guileless, you see. I'm very naive. No, it is true about me being naive. I'm just so naive as to the potential duplicity in the world. Not that I'm incapable of it, but I think for the most part, God has made me a genuine person, and I just say it and I blob it. Oh, I'm going to get to that later in Romans chapter 10. This is how to tell that faith is not unfeigned. So in the case of the person who changes doctrine, like majorly, the question becomes, did they believe the truth and then go off into another belief? In other words, their belief in the truth was legitimate at the time, but then they reassessed things and came to a completely 180-degree different truth. Is that the case? Or is it that they never had the truth in the first place? And then thus, in other words, they were putting on a front, not even consciously. I'm not saying any of this is conscious. They put on a front, and then since it's a front and there's no inner conviction, there's no rooting and grounding, they are then susceptible to whatever wind blows. This is another example of the chameleon principle or the parrot principle. Wherever the wind blows, that's where they go. Unless they have a conviction, unless they are rooted and grounded in the truth, like a giant oak tree, it has roots that go a quarter mile down into the ground, and the wind does not knock it down because it is sure, it is convicted. It does not change course. You don't see an oak tree in a different place. You don't see it in your backyard in the evening, and then in the morning it's in your side yard by the swing set. It doesn't do that. It doesn't walk. It doesn't move. It stays put. So someone who moves, I tend to think, I'm not saying this is always the way it works, but I tend to think that it is that the individual never believed it in the first place. I know of a man who was a proponent of Paul's gospel, believed it to his very core, so I thought. Went to all the meetings, all the conferences where the great truth was taught. And I come to find out 10 years later that this person not only thinks Paul is a faker, a liar, a false apostle, but they now do not believe in Jesus Christ at all. What? 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 You're kidding me. They don't believe in Jesus anymore. They don't. No. In fact, they're an atheist, Martin. They are now an atheist. How could it be? I think it's because they never were founded on the truth in the first place. I'm not saying it couldn't work the other way. I think for minor distinctions of doctrine, someone can legitimately believe something and then change their mind, but these giant departures are evidence that someone was parroting, blowing with the wind, teaching something that they felt was probably true. There it is. I think so, yeah. They felt it was true. They thought it sounded great. Oh, it sounds good to say God's in control of everything. Sounds good. Sounds good. And then maybe the storms of life come. And you get hit with so many trials that it overwhelms you to the point that you can no longer attribute these evil things to God. And then you construct a theology that relieves God of bringing these evils to you. Of course, at the same time, you relieve God of his sovereignty, but oh well, you feel better now thinking that the devil did this to me. And not ultimately God. So what happened in this case? I think what happened is that it was never believed in the first place. Because if it was, then no wind coming against it, even personal trials, personal loss. Now look, I've suffered personal loss as well. Many of you I know have suffered terrible personal loss, more than me. Yes, way more than me. But of course, I've had a taste of it. We all have. And sometimes you're close to just giving it all up. You're close to saying, I quit. This is ridiculous. I can't take this from God anymore. I don't want to serve a God who's this scary that can bring these horrible things into my life. I'm pulling up my stakes and moving to another campground. So off you go. But I find that a genuine faith, even if it's knocked down to hell and back, will survive it if the roots are deep enough. And the question is begged then, okay, if the roots aren't deep, but if the roots are there, there are at least some roots, does that mean that it's a genuine belief, but it's only shallow? It's genuine, but it's immature? Like the parable of Jesus sows the seed and it takes root at first, takes root, so that would suggest that it's genuine, but then storm comes, wind comes, and it just gives up the ghost, and it's gone. That could be too, but I think that's the minority view. I don't think that's the main thing. Romans 10, I was going to tell you about Romans 10. This hit me when I was doing the Romans series. If you don't realize this, I spent 4 years writing on the book of Romans. Every single verse in Romans I have commented upon. And you can find this at my website, martinsender.com. Go down to ZWTF Archives, ZWTF. You will find the Romans series. I think there's 26 parts. No, 126. Going to publish this in a four-volume book set someday soon. You'll see. But when I got to Romans 10, I've always wondered this, then you, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you are being saved. It's the confession of the mouth, because I don't think that generally people who are only parroting a line of theology or who are chameleoning a line of theology, I don't think they go around confessing it. That is, I don't think they go around sharing it, talking about it. So people who like say to you, yeah, I believe, I've had this happen, right? I've had this happen like recently. Like they tell you, yeah, oh, that sounds good. I believe that. And then they never talk to anyone else about it. They never share it. There's no joy in it that would compel them to share it with another person. Then it's not real faith in that case. It's not real faith. Sorry. Because something that is real, you will, can't wait to talk about it. Can't wait to tell my sister about this. Good luck with that. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll end with this. Paul says, this concept is in the very presentation of our gospel, which tells me that this is more prevalent than we think, and it is more dangerous than we think. Why is it dangerous? Maybe it's not dangerous, it's just an inconvenience. It's a travesty, because there are, let's put it this way, there are wolves among us. There are fakers among us. They don't get up in the morning saying that they're going to be a faker today, it just, that's what they are. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, I'm making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you are retaining what I said in bringing the evangel to you outside, and except you believe feignedly. Wow, that's verse 1 and 2. And then Paul in verse 3 gives us the elements of the evangel, which I always emphasize. I always emphasize verses 3 and 4, but look at verses 1 and 2. I'm making known to you the evangel which I bring to you, which you accepted. See, even Paul is saying, well, these people, they accepted the evangel. So, wouldn't you like the backstory of these people, supposedly that Billy Graham brought to faith? Billy Graham saved 18 million people in his great storied career, 18 million people. Well, I want to follow up on all the people to see if they were really saved or if they just responded to an emotional impulse based on the eloquence of Billy Graham and the music, and they just went to the altar because everybody else was doing it. It was a chameleon act. It was an act of parrotry. And the next day or the week later, it's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what came over me. Yeah, I know what came over you. You needed to fit in with the crowd you were in at the time. Tragic. Through which you are saved, if you are retaining what I said. Oh boy, if you are retaining. So Paul here is putting out that retaining it is evidence that you received it. The opposite of retaining it is feigned. Apart and outside, you believe feignedly. Paul says you believe feignedly. Wait a minute, how can someone believe if it's feigned? The belief is the presentation. Oh, they're believers. They're saying the right words. They're announcing their, no, they're sharing. They're saying back to me the words that I give to them. But a week later, they're saying something that contradicts it. So they didn't retain it. And not retaining it is commensurate here, according to Paul, with believing feignedly, feigned. But even Paul says, you're saved through it. You're being saved through it. Even he would look at it and say, okay, they're saying the right words. sounds good. They sound good. Yet, I mean, Paul doesn't have x-ray vision. He can't read into the soul like Jesus Christ did. He ends up saying, God, they didn't retain it. So I guess to Paul, look, not retaining it is a sign that you never had it because it was feigned belief. It was belief for the sake of fitting in. Shocking. This is all shocking. It's all disturbing. I hate to be the one telling you this. I really do. I don't like it myself. It's, again, for somebody as naive as I am about the ways of the world, it is discouraging. But I'm no longer, to be honest with you, I'm no longer shocked by it. I find that it happens too often now that I've been in this world for 40 years. I've seen some stuff. I've seen some stuff that I never thought I'd see. But of course, I am convinced of better things concerning you because I have seen you, my friends, hanging on. Even if all you have left is a shred of faith, that's good enough because it is a true faith. It is a sound faith. It is a faith given to you by Christ, and nothing in the world can destroy it. Not nakedness, not sword, not trial, not trauma, not death, not life. Nothing in this world can take it away because it's real and it's deep.